Welcome home, modern mystic, to the place where your soul-seeking journey will never feel lonely again. Welcome to the place where wonder and awe are an everyday occurrence, where transformation and alchemy are the name of the game, and where you always leave more empowered and expanded than you were when you came. I'm Haley Winter, and I invite you to meet me here, at the bridge where science, psychology, and spirituality merge. And together, we'll explore the magic and mystery of this human experience. This is your guide to the universe. What is up, my dude? And welcome back to another amazing Soulpreneur Saturday conversation. On today's episode, we got to chat with Desiree Degree, and this conversation really covers it all. We're covering so much when it comes to mindset. I mean, we talk about what it takes to go through a pivot and let go of an old identity in order to pursue the path that you know is meant for you. We talk about what it truly means to be empowered, what it truly means to evolve, and what it means to infuse purpose into everything that you do and create as a business owner. And on top of all that mindset gold, we get to go a bit into the nitty-gritty about what it takes to have a product-based business. And Desiree gives us a really incredible behind-the-scenes look at what it takes to actually craft physical products with purpose and intention and a whole fuck ton of love. So grab yourself your favorite mug, fill her up with your favorite bevy, and I would grab a journal and a pen if I were you, because there are some straight up quotable mindset gems in this conversation that you're going to want to remember and write down. And without much further ado, it is with so much excitement that I welcome you to this conversation with Desiree Degree. All right. So I am so excited to welcome Desiree onto the podcast today. And Desiree, I would love to just start by inviting you to share with us all about who you are and what you do, any part of your journey that you would like to share. I would love to hear all the things.
So my name is Desiree. And my story is that I was a person who at 6 years old decided that I wanted to become a judge. I have no idea why. It was just my thing. And I stuck with it. I stuck with it for the rest of my life. I thought to myself, okay, I need to plan out my life in the span of going to law school. And I've worked my way through college and so that I could pay for college and not have college loans on top of law school loans. And throughout the process, I was so driven, so determined. And then I got to the point to where I was starting LSAT prep and all those things. And I felt extreme resistance. It was almost immediate. It felt wrong. Everything about it felt wrong. And I realized that I had to make a huge shift. And there, in that shift, I decided to start my business, which is lovingly and ironically called The Perfectionist. And it's a gifting and stationery business that is surrounded around empowering women.
Wow. So, okay, 6 years old, just decided you were going to be a judge. And Do you know where that came from or just?
I have no idea. I'm honestly the type of person who, as soon as I decide something, it's decided. There's no going back. A 6-year-old me decided for me for the rest of my life that's what I was going to do. And I was so determined to get there no matter what. I remember when I was 16, I thought, okay, I'm going to have to become a legal assistant and I'm going to have to work as a legal assistant throughout college. And I started a job at 17 at State Farm. And then I worked at State Farm from 17 to 19. And when I turned 19, I got a job as a legal assistant. And I worked full-time as a legal assistant and went to college part-time so that I can pay, you know, my way through college. And that was my dream. Like, there's nothing you could have told me otherwise.
Wow, that's incredible. And, you know,
it's really interesting because I feel like, you know, you talked about once you were starting LSAT prep, you were getting ready to go into law school and kind of like it sounds like it was about to get real. And that's when the resistance started to come up. What was the process like for you from like starting to feel this resistance to I need to make a change? Like, did that happen quickly or was it slow going? Like, what was that like?
It was years in the process. I was still investing money in courses and tutors and everything, trying to convince myself that this was what I should be doing. This is what I said I was going to do. I attached it so deeply to my identity.
Yeah.
And other people did as well. Like, there was no discussion about Desiree without bringing up law school.
Yeah.
And every time I would go to a family event or speak to people, even people at my job who, you know, I was a legal assistant and I made no effort to hide the fact that this was not going to be my job forever. Yeah. I fully intend to go to law school after this. And yeah, it took years for me to realize, you know, this isn't a struggle to take a test. This is the wrong path for me. And it was a long, long, long process.
Yeah. Wow. And, you know, it's funny because I have a similar story. And, you know, the more soulful entrepreneurs that I talk to, the more I see this kind of theme. And I love that you mentioned that identity piece, like it was so connected to your identity. And I'm curious if it was this way for you, because I know for me, when I went through my kind of like walking away from my career as a therapist and all of the stable kind of trajectory that I thought I had, that everyone in my life thought I had forever and ever and ever. Like, it was so attached to my identity that when I went through that realization of like, this just isn't right and I need to change this, everything fell apart. Like the identity piece, like everything crumbled. And all of a sudden I was like, I know nothing about who I am anymore. Did you go through that too?
Absolutely. It's hard because I'm the type of person, I'm a very outspoken individual. And naturally, once again, just tying my identity to the legal field and the masculine side of myself, all these things that are all intertwined to this thing, I thought to myself, what am I going to have? If I don't have that, what else is there? What else is out there for me?
Yeah,
it was a huge struggle.
Yeah. It sounds like in that struggle, purpose was on the other end, which tends to be the theme that I've seen as I talk to more people who have gone through similar stories. And so for you, you came out of it starting this business around empowering women. So how did you discover that beneath everything else you had to sort through?
So when, years ago, obviously, I'm married and I've been married for this year will be 8 years.
Wow, congratulations.
And, thank you. And my wife was in Afghanistan. We were dating at the time. And she was deployed in Afghanistan. And she asked me to move with her. And at the time, I live in Texas. I was born and raised in Texas. And at the time I thought, you know, okay, sure, I'll come move with you when you come back from deployment. And she coincidentally lived in Alaska though. So
big change.
Yeah. So in the middle of the winter, I packed my little suitcase and I moved to Alaska. And I continued school throughout that time. I just got another job as a legal assistant there. And I picked up, like, there was no, you know, detachment from this goal for me. And I remember we moved after Alaska, we moved to Maryland. And for this was in 2014. And, you know, Pinterest was such a big thing back then. It still is, but, you know.
I love Pinterest.
Yeah.
It was, I waste hours on Pinterest.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing. But I remember I was scrolling through Pinterest, which I did all the time, creating all these vision boards. Mm-hmm. And I found that stationery would stick out to me. Like, it would really stick out to me. Like, I love stationery already. And I was a huge gift giver, always gifted to people, whether it was their birthday or not. And people would always tell me, you give the most thoughtful gifts, you give the most creative and unique gifts. You know, I kind of brushed it back. I'm like, oh yeah, that could be a hobby. That could be cool. But I remember I was scrolling through Pinterest and I saw this teacup, and the teacup had a little saucer underneath it and it said fucking classy on it.
I love
and
that.
I thought, yeah. And I thought, wow, like, I love that. I remember saving it. And every time I would go back to my Pinterest boards, that was the first thing that always caught my eye. And for whatever reason, I thought, why is it weird to say the words fucking classy together? Like, why is that? Why can't you be fucking classy? Like, why is that sound so off?
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, as time went on, I'm like, you know what? I can be whatever I want to be. I can do whatever I want to do. If I want to say fucking classy and I want to do this and do that, I can do whatever it is I want to do. That drove me into the field of empowerment and just speaking the way that I wanted to speak, being who I wanted to be, and all those things. And when I started my business, coincidentally, the first thing I made was a mug that said fucking classy. And to this day, it is my bestseller.
I love that so much. That is such a cool origin story. And something about the like teacup with the saucer. Half my family's British. And so I was kind of raised like very proper British, you know, very teacup and saucer.
Oh, yes.
Energy. Yes. And one of the things that was always told to me, well, scolded at me really growing up, was that, you know, I should be more ladylike.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, yeah, with like the mouth on me, like dropping F-bombs left, right, and center. My beloved British Nan does not love that very much. But I love that that kind of teacup with the fucking classy and kind of looking at that juxtaposition. And, you know, why does that feel like such counterculture, you know, and really analyzing that led you to that space of empowerment? Because damn straight, you know, like, why can't I sip out of my teacup that says fucking classy on it? Like, right. What does ladylike even mean? You know, like, what's this conditioning all about? So that
right,
is
right. Everything is so subjective. And I think to tie the story together, I remember very clearly I was studying about to take an LSAT prep test. And I remember thinking, this is not what I want to do. Like, mm-hmm. I have to just accept it at this point. I've invested thousands of dollars in courses and tutors and things like that. And eventually I just thought, maybe I should give this a chance. And I remember going back to that Pinterest board again and just thinking, what have I been interested in? What other things? And seeing that again and thinking, this is what I was meant to do. I know it. Like, there was no, you know, thought. I didn't even have to think about it. I knew exactly where my mind went, but I didn't just want to create stationery. I didn't want to just create mugs. I wanted to make something that was intended to serve a separate purpose, which was empowerment. I called my products empowerment products. You know how, I don't know if you've ever done yoga or you do yoga, but they tell you when you're going to do something struggling or, you know, that may throw you off your balance, they tell you to find a focal point, stare at something mm-hmm. to keep yourself steady. Mm-hmm. And that's how I look at my products. There's something you're going to see every day to keep yourself empowered, to keep yourself steady. So that's how I look at it. And I just remember journaling. I'm a heavy journaler and I journal like every day.
Yeah.
So I remember journaling and I just thought, what the hell am I doing? Like, whose dream am I living?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not fucking six anymore. I deserve to be happy in this version of myself. I've evolved so much over the years. It's time for me to get out of this dream that, you know, I set so long ago. And it's unfortunate that so many people live in their own hell because they live in their own timelines that they created years ago. And they've evolved so much and they don't give themselves the proper evaluation throughout. You know, people always say tunnel vision. I have tunnel vision. Yeah. Great. But are you going the right way?
Yeah.
You're going straight, but are you going the right way?
Oh, that is such that question right there. Like, that's a question we all need to ask ourselves. And I love how you talked about when you had this realization that it wasn't right for you. And you went back to those Pinterest boards and you're like, all right, what am I interested in? When I think about my story too, I think about, it was so similar and I call it breadcrumbing. Like, I had to follow the breadcrumbs and it started so similar. Like, what do I even like? Like, what do I like? Not, you know, what everyone from high school and all of my family and all of my friends are telling me, you know, who I am. what do I right now care about? And like following that, like you were saying, it's an inner knowing. Like you just know, you feel it when you find it, even if it's not rational, even if it has nothing to do with whatever decision you made as a child. And I feel like being able to follow that truth is empowerment.
Right. Right. 100%. Yeah. I mean, you're going to talk about being empowering. You have to also follow that path yourself.
Yeah.
And I just thought, this is it. Like it doesn't have to be everyone's story that they make some drastic shift in their life and change mm-hmm. their entire career, but you're allowed to be empowered. And the reason that I call my business The Perfectionist, and the reason I say it's ironic, because perfection is subjective mm-hmm. and you have to find your version. You have to find whatever's perfect for you. And, you know, it's a beautiful process, but it's also a lifelong process. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're ambitious, you're looking for the next step, the next thing, but it's like, there's no end goal here.
Yeah.
When you're really, really ambitious, there's no ending. You just go to the next thing and then go to the next thing. So it's a lifelong process of empowerment and evolution within, but you have to define it yourself.
I love that. I love when you're really ambitious, there is no ending. That needs to be on a t-shirt at some point.
Or a mug, maybe.
Or a mug or a notebook, like something yes. like that. And I'm glad that you brought up, you know, calling your business what you called your business, because I actually wanted to ask you about that, you know, the Perfectionist Co. Like the term perfectionist is an interesting one because
it has negative connotation to it.
Right. And it also has positive/negative connotation. Like, you know how it can almost be like a backhanded compliment or a positive insult. I don't even know how to describe it, but I know that I've kind of done this in my own life where I've said like, oh, I'm such a perfectionist. And it's like, on the one hand, I'm patting myself on the back because it's like, I have high standards and I do good work. But then on the other hand, there's also this aspect of, I don't let myself try new things because I'm afraid to fail. And I'm harsh with myself about making mistakes. You know, there's those two aspects. So I would love to just like hear you riff on what made you land on this name.
So originally it was, as you said, the positive aspect. I have in my corporate position, which is still as a legal assistant, and one of the people that I support, who is so sweet, she's the sweetest person. But every time I give something back to her, I'm like, wait a minute, let me look this over. Or anytime she gives something to me, I'm like, let me look this over again. She's mm-hmm. like, it's fine. It's totally fine. She's like, you are such a perfect, everything I do, everything I touch. She's like, it doesn't have to be perfect, Desiree. I'm like, yeah, it does. So in a way, yes, at first I thought I'm a little bit of a perfectionist, but then I was like, but I'm my own version of perfection. Mm-hmm. I am creating a version of me that is perfect to me. Doesn't matter, because to someone else, and she's never said it in a way that's like, you know, I asked for this an hour ago. Why are you, your perfectionism is holding me up or you know, my time. It's more of a thought of, you know, it's once again, it's subjective. And mm-hmm. when I started the business, I purposefully mixed fonts that are like, you know, print, cursive, things are a little bit messy, you know, but to certain people, they're going to see it and think, no, this is just pretty. There's nothing messy about this. Mm-hmm. But to me, in my perfect eye, from time to time, you know, it's messy. It's intended to be a little bit messy. It's intended to be a little bit subjective. And once again, I mean, I love my fucking classy mug. I also have a notepad. It's a checklist that says, oh shit, don't forget. And people love that one as well. It's just, it's intended to be girly, but not ladylike, if that makes sense.
Oh God, sign me up.
But because that's my own version of perfection. But that's just, you know.
Yeah. The juxtaposition is just so good. Like the union of kind of these almost oppositional qualities in all of this. And I say oppositional, really only oppositional, because we've kind of been conditioned to believe that. But like, I just love that. There's something really, really special about the way that you've kind of put that together.
Yes. And people never believe me when I say it's ironic, but I'm like, if you gave me the chance to explain it to you, I would explain to you how it's ironic. But it's, you know, it's once again, everything is subjective. So it's ironic to me.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I love that. That is so good. And especially, you know, for me as someone who has grappled with the perfectionist identity, I see the humor in it and also the value in it, because there are shadow and light aspects to all archetypes, and the perfectionist is just another archetype. But right. I love how you really embody that in what you share. And, you know, I've browsed through your page. I've looked at your products, and I did not see the fucking classy mug, because if I had, I would have already ordered that. So I don't know how that missed my radar, but and that oh shit checklist, like oh shit, don't forget. Oh man, yeah. That's something I need in my life.
yes, it's a game changer.
Absolutely, and just like the humor there, oh, just so important. I feel like
Now
I'm curious about the empowerment piece, and I would love to hear, like, what does that mean to you? I know that kind of sounds like a fluffy question, but right. I think it's a word that has a lot of different definitions. And like you said, everything is subjective. So I would love for you to share, you know, what is your perspective on this energy of empowerment, and how does that inform what you create and what you put out there?
I think exactly what you said, it's an energy. It's something that you can emit. It's something that comes from you. And my job is to give you something to focus on. It's my job to take your everyday things that you use. You use notepad, you know, maybe you might use a notepad, or you go have your coffee in the morning, or you use an agenda, something out on your desk, something that you would pass by to help remind you of that you're worthy, that you should be respected, that you can be different. That you can be whoever you want to be. But as you said, I mean, it's an energy. It's something that you emit to the world, and it's something that you have to fill your own cup on. Something that I think of when I think of myself and others. I mean, sometimes someone will give me a compliment and I just can't, you know, I can't accept it. I'm like, oh, no, mm-hmm. No, I'm not bad. Or, and it's an energy that you have to remind yourself that only you can emit it. Like, someone can compliment you all day, but if you don't feel like you can stand in that confidence and empowerment, it's not going to hold up. So to me, it is complete energy. It's complete respect for yourself and taking time out for yourself. I take spa days. I call them spa days, but it's really just me taking a bubble bath or taking time to journal. That's mm-hmm. what gives me that light, that energy. And you just have to find what that is for you.
What's really standing out to me, really, with everything that you've said, is I keep thinking of the word sovereignty, just kind of in your story and the way that you're describing empowerment. It all comes back to this kind of internal compass, which to me just radiates sovereignty, like being your own sovereign decision maker in your life, being the one who wields your power of choice to make your own decisions and be who the fuck you want to be and be in the energy that you want to have. Like, it's, and that does feel so empowering. Like, when we can, especially as women, be in a place where we're like, I decide who I am and I decide the energy that I want to have. Like, to me, that sovereignty, that being your own source, is, I don't know if I would say equivalent to empowerment, but it sure feels very empowering to me. The energy feels very similar.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, you know, something that I like to say to people who want to start something or do something or change something in order to create their own happiness and empowerment is that there is never a right set of circumstances that are going to come into your life to create your dream life, you know, because you have to create it.
Yeah.
And there is something so empowering in knowing that only you can create that for yourself. I mean, it's beautiful.
Exactly. And, you know, I feel like this is a conversation that I have a lot as a coach, because I know one of the things that I get a lot in conversations with potential clients is, you know, well, I'm not sure this is the right time. And it's like one of the things that I have to say a lot is there will never be a right time. Like if you're looking for the perfect circumstances, you're going to be looking forever. And mm-hmm. I love the spin that you just put on that, because when you realize that you're not at the mercy of time or circumstances, sure, your excuse is gone, but your power is back. And I think that kind of talks about that self-responsibility piece as well. Mm-hmm. That I know we kind of touched on a little bit earlier, but like, you know, when you take back your responsibility and you accept, like, I am responsible for the choices that I make in my life. I'm responsible for the circumstances. I'm responsible for what I make of this. It's not the same as taking blame for everything, which I feel like a lot of people kind of get stuck there.
Right.
But it is taking your power back to do something about it. And if you're at the mercy of circumstances, there's nothing you can do about that. You have no power there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Damn. So good. Now I have one more kind of, I guess, more ethereal question, more conceptual mm-hmm. question. And then I would actually love to kind of get into the nitty-gritty a bit about your business, because I'm super curious about a couple of things. But one thing that really stood out to me about you was your focus on evolution and kind of that being like a value that is a part of your business. And I would love to just hear more about that, like what evolution means to you and how that contributes to your business values and what you put out there, because it's really not something you hear very often.
Right. So I kind of combine the two in empowerment and evolution together. I think that if you can step into your empowerment, then you can watch yourself properly watch yourself evolve. Mm-hmm. I think that if you can't look at yourself and think, I'm in control, I'm making these things happen for myself, then you can't evolve.
Yeah.
Like you can't properly evolve. So evolution to me is important when it comes to confidence. It's important when it comes to your future and even your present moment, because you evolve in the present, like you're on a daily basis, you know?
Yeah.
So when it comes to my thoughts on empowerment, as well as evolution, I like to just combine the two. To me, they kind of mean the same thing in just standing in your ability to control your life. But at the same time, you know, it's funny because I like to say that I'm not the face of the perfectionist. I like to separate myself from the brand a little bit. It is me, but in the same, it's not about me. It's about you and your journey and what you're doing in your life. But at the same time, I think the evolution part is the one part that I've kept that is me, because I'm always trying to evolve and I want these products to evolve with the women who are purchasing them, you know, these feminine beings who are growing into different aspects of themselves, who don't even know, you know, their worth and their power. And throughout time, as they grow, I grow, my brain grows and all, everything that involves it. So that's kind of how I see it.
Wow. I feel like my whole concept of evolution just expanded like 100 times hearing you talk about that. I love how you said like evolving is something that you do in the present moment, which I think is so much more profound than it might immediately come across. Because I know like when I think about evolution and kind of when I was thinking about the term before this conversation today, it almost has like a future type energy, because we think about, you know, like what will we be one day, or like, what are we becoming? But the truth is that you're totally right. We evolve right now. Evolving isn't something that we do later on. I mean, you know, if and when there is a later on, sure, maybe we'll be evolving then. But like right now is where we live. Right now is where we evolve. It's actually a present moment process. Right. And that is huge. And I think like the awareness of that is, like you said, that connects it right in with empowerment. Because if we realize that like in this present moment, we are evolving, we can then have a say in what that evolution looks like, which is that energy of empowerment, right? Like being able to govern how we're evolving and make that choice. So good.
And also it's a step in the right direction, because when you truly believe that I'll be happy when, that's when you start that idea of right. I'll be happy when. But it's like, if you're not in stepping into your own empowerment, then you don't even, you won't, when that time comes and when you get that thing or that you make that milestone, you won't even recognize it.
Yeah.
You won't even recognize how far you've evolved or, you know, how far you've come.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you need both.
Absolutely. And I think that's something really interesting that connects in with your story too, because it took that awareness to kind of get to a place where you would kind of, you got to that vantage point where it was like, this dream or this goal that I've had for myself my entire life is now unfolding. But what am I going to do about it? And, you know, like that making the right decision and kind of what you said earlier, like you have tunnel vision, but are you going down the right tunnel? Like, mm-hmm. are you going right. the right way? And having that space or like giving yourself the space to allow that to evolve and mm-hmm. not kind of pin yourself to what 6-year-old you decided you were going to do, but allowing right. that to evolve in the moment.
Right. Because a lot of women I find will have that moment in, you know, usually it's in high school where you're like, oh, by the time I turn 18, I'll have this. By the time I turn 22, I'll be married. By the time I turn 25, I'll have children.
Yeah.
And all of these things that we set a timeline for our entire lives for, which, you know, 18-year-old you has no clue what it feels to be 21.
Yeah.
And you can't judge your whole life off of what you created years ago. I mean, well, what you know, an idea you had years ago, it totally. Doesn't, it does, it won't unfold that way. It just won't. And even if it does, will you even want it once you get it? You know, you have to allow that flow within your yeah. life.
Well, and that's, will you even want it? Such a good question. Like mm-hmm. I am so glad 18-year-old me could not have been more wrong about how my yeah. life was going to go. Cause the things that I thought I wanted at 18, hot damn. Absolutely. If that had been how my life unfolded, I would be in a world of misery. But I mean, I was so like that, like by 23, I'm going to be married and I want to have mm-hmm. at least 2 kids by the time I'm 27. And like, here I am yes. turning 30 in 6 months and I have 0 children at the time.
Me too. And yes.
I'm like, good, you know, like I, yeah. maybe one day, but like right now I'm very glad to not have kids. And right. you know, the person I thought I wanted to be with, that would have been a shit show. Like,
yes, and you just don't know.
Exactly. And, you know, I feel like that gives a lot of liberation in the moment, too, because I feel like even if we can look back and be like, oh, thank God, 18-year-old me's timeline didn't happen, we could still get stuck in the trap of putting that pressure on ourselves now. Like, yeah. oh, well, by the time I'm 35, I want this. And by the time I'm 40, I want this. And it's like when we can kind of bring that perspective into the now and make that space for the evolution and understand, like, I'm going to evolve. What I want is going to evolve. Like, why don't I just trust myself and follow myself and trust the process?
Right. That's free yourself.
Right.
Free yourself.
That's freedom. Rather than like sticking to the timeline you're creating for yourself now that you think you need, that's restrictive. The mm-hmm. antithesis of evolution.
Right.
Absolutely. I'm having like a brain blast moment right now. Like, I feel like I needed to hear this. That is so good. Okay, so now that was kind of like my ethereal conceptual, like, I want to hear what these words mean to you kind of a thing. But I actually would really love to ask you kind of some nitty gritty questions about your business, because mm-hmm. it's honestly so rare that I get to talk to someone who works in the product space. And I'm so curious about what that's like, because I know that I've dabbled in the thought of doing products, specifically kind of stationary type things. I am a stationary freak. Like, I have an unreasonable amount of notebooks and planners. Like, I was that kid that would stay in the stationary aisle of like whatever store I was in the whole shopping trip and would have to be like pulled away forcibly, usually with like 3 pens and another notebook in my hand. Right. And so I've always thought about that, but then I started thinking about like, how do I source these things? What is, like, I'm just overwhelmed. I have no idea. So not asking you to give away any of your secrets or anything, but like, how did you figure that out?
Like, how to physically create the product?
Yeah. Like how to source things, how to have like a stock of things. Like it just seems like so many logistics. How did you, when you knew nothing about how to do a product-based business, like what did you do? Where did you start?
So I YouTube first and foremost.
Love that.
But you know, it's my research.
Yeah.
But it took a long time. It took a long time to understand. I quote unquote failed a lot. I actually kept all the mugs that I sublimated on and just to see them, just to see how far I've come myself. I have to remind myself how far I've come. So sometimes when like I'm having a bad day, I can look back at, I have drawers full of mugs that I'm like, oh, this used to look like this. This used to look like this. You know, it's been a long process of creating, but something that I feel like a lot of people don't know is that I make all my products myself.
You make them.
I physically make them.
Like even the notebooks?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Wow.
So yes. So I am in the process. I've started, the only thing that I don't physically make is the Goddess Agenda. I have a Goddess Agenda. That was the only thing that I've ever manufactured. So it was a long process because I, like I said, I love stationery as well. It was important to me that I wasn't using paper that you just purchase at, you know, Target.
Yeah. Or,
you know, I found very high quality paper. I spent months and lots of money going through different samples of paper. And, you know, you can't just buy a sample of paper. You have to physically buy the paper and try it out in a notebook. I printed out so many, created so many designs. I'm very specific. I'm going to sound like a perfectionist now, but I'm very specific on even how the paper rips out.
Wow. It's so like just, the way it perforates and comes out of the notebook?
Yes. If it's, you know, just rips out all at one time, I don't like it. I need it to like tear properly. I mean, it's been a long process in creating, figuring out what weight of paper. I really like off-white paper, but not just like not cream, just like slightly off-white. Took a long time to figure out all those things that made me happy and that, you know, I could look and think about the people who are going to be using them, what would make them happy as well. So it took a very, very long time, but yes, I do physically make everything here in my office.
Dude. Okay. So needless to say, a lot of thought has gone into each and every one of these products. That is amazing. So have you always been like naturally crafty, or is this something that you just kind of picked up as you went?
So I would say I'm creative. I don't know about crafty. Mm-hmm. It took a very long, it took a lot of trial and error to make it correctly and make it the way that, you know, that's a process on its own. You know, I have to learn how to make it correctly. And then after that, I have to learn how to make it the way I want it, which is not the same thing.
Yeah.
I create all the designs for the mugs and I make them here. And it was a long process and it took, sometimes too, I've noticed that my products have already evolved. I haven't had my business for more than the perfectionist started in September, 2021, and already products have changed a lot since then, in the new designs and in the way that people respond to me and even, you know, my own life and how, I have a mug that I just made and it says rare and it says worthy, abundant, you know, loved. It's like affirmations. That's how I think of it. But you know, it takes a while for me to get to know the audience. Another thing that people don't know about me is that I dealt with a lot of social anxiety for years, and that prevented me from actually starting social media. So I started social media when I started The Perfectionist.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So I didn't have some huge audience to sell to.
Yeah.
I have to get to know everyone from, you know, from now, from this community that I'm building. And luckily it really is a beautiful community. People respond to me and they tell me what they like. They tell me what they don't like. And, you know, I have to learn and evolve right along with the rest of everyone. So it's been a nice process and it's been a very hands-on process, obviously, for me, since I'm physically making everything.
Yeah. So you wear all the hats then, it sounds like, kind of full solopreneur mode. You get the supplies, you put them together, you're the marketing team. I'm assuming you do like the packaging and the shipping and all of that.
Yep, absolutely. Wow.
Yep. And on top of this, you said you still have your corporate position, correct? I have a
full-time, yes, corporate position. Yes.
I feel like I need to kiss the ground you walk on, because I do not know how you do it. That is incredible.
I think it's a situation to where I love it. You know, there's times mm-hmm. that my wife comes into my office and it's, you know, I've worked till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I don't make that an everyday habit. I'm not glorifying the hustle in any way.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like work when you love what you do.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it really is nice to live that way. But, it, you know, when it does get stressful, I just remind myself, like, Desiree, you have worked on trying to become a lawyer for 6 years. Why can't you give this the same love, the same attention, the same, you know, opportunity?
Yeah.
Whenever it gets tough, and it does. And I have to remind myself, like, these products aren't for me. I mean, I'm making them, but you know, they could change someone's thoughts and change their lives. And it seems so silly for some people to think, oh, it's just a mug, it's not gonna, but you know, somebody's looking at that mug every damn day.
Oh, dude, you will never hear me say the words, it's just a mug. I have a mug issue. Like, and I would almost use the word addiction and like not in a funny way. I am obsessed with mugs, and I intentionally choose my mug every day from my way too vast collection mm-hmm. based on like, how do I want to
feel
today?
Yes,
right. Exactly. Absolutely. Like, it's a ritual for me. And right. I feel like that's the vibe. Like, you know, it's not just a mug. It's not just a product. Like, these have energy infused in them that will be a part of the person's day, whoever is using them. It's not just a mug.
Right.
Or whoever's gifting them. Seriously. Yeah, exactly. And that's another really meaningful aspect of it too. And I know that the empowered gifting is another part of what you do, which is so cool. Not something I've ever heard before. But there's something, and actually I feel like I'm about to start like kind of a tangent vent on this, because gifts, I feel like, get a bad rep. Like, if we think about love languages, I feel like people are always ashamed or embarrassed of like, oh, well, gift, or like receiving gifts is a love language for me. There's almost like shame around that. Like, it feels so materialistic. I am of the belief that there are few things in life, and maybe this is because I've come to realize that gift giving is one of my love languages, both like giving and receiving. But like, there are so few things that can be so meaningful as really giving someone something that was selected, crafted, put together with intention. Like, I want to give this to you because this made me think of you. This gave me your energy, or this is an energy that I want to give to you. Like, it's less about the thing itself and more about the energy that the thing is a conduit for. And it sounds like that's a huge part of what you do as well.
Yes. So I put a lot of thought into the products that I create, and I will literally sit down and say to myself, I have, like, I'm looking at a mug right now. It says Bossy with Boss crossed out and Boss in the bottom. Who would want this? And it's the woman who needs to remember that she's in control. She's the boss. You're the boss of your own life. So the woman who is in the process of wanting to, maybe she does work a corporate position that she doesn't like, and she wants to make her a coffee every day and bring it to the office. And remember, she's in control. She's still the boss. You're not, you know, failing. You're just in the transition. And if you need to remind yourself of that every day, then you have this mug to remind you that you're still the boss and, you know, own that.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah.
My copywriter self is like screaming with joy right now. Like, if what you just said to me is not already on a caption or a website description or something, copy and paste that. Like, that is just so good.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's you're right. And I love the way you said that. I mean, it has pure intention. Like, I'm thinking of the multifaceted person, this woman who's going to receive this, who wears so many hats and has so many thoughts and wants so many things for herself, for her friends and her family. And everybody has different personalities. And yeah, it's supposed to be a full service empowerment to whether you're empowering yourself or someone else in whatever situation that you've thought of them in.
Yeah. And I love hearing you say this. Like, I can feel it through the screen. You genuinely think about that woman who's feeling all those things when you're making these. I mean, you couldn't say that to me right now if you weren't. Like, that's not something that you can bullshit. Right. That's real, which is
because I've experienced it and it helps. You know, and I thought to myself back, you know how we, you know, hindsight's 2020.
Right.
But when I think back on my journey and the fact that I was not on social media, and at first I thought, oh, this is going to hinder me. Like, I have no following. No, I didn't have a Facebook. I didn't have anything. So it's not like I could have just sold to an audience. But then I thought to myself, this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't this person before.
Yeah.
I didn't have the insights of the woman who wants to start her own business and is in her corporate job. I don't have the experience. I didn't have these experiences and these thoughts before. So now I can show up to this audience as an evolved version of myself, a different version of myself that can consider all these personalities and these thoughts. You know, so it, yeah, absolutely. I definitely think that, you know, plays a role in the way that I think of who's going to buy this. But that's another thing about being a solopreneur, mm-hmm. is that you do wear a lot of hats and you do have to feel like you're in control, but you also have to think about who's buying this. You know, it's not intended to be just pretty. It's everything that I touch needs to have a purpose.
Yeah. Oh, that is so true. And I feel like too, those are the moments that kind of pull you through. Like when you're working and it's 2 a.m. and, or if you've gone through like a rough week or whatever it is, and you're kind of having those feelings, like, can I really do this? I know for me, what pulls me through most of those moments is not like thinking about myself, but like, who am I doing this for? And, and why am I doing this? Like that connection with your community, with your people, like with that woman who's going to drink out of that mug and remember who the fuck she is. Like, that's what's going to pull you through.
Exactly. And it's also, it's funny because it's a situation where sometimes I think to myself, I want to just do what's cute. Yeah. I would love to create a mug or a notepad or whatever that just says girl boss, because I know that's what will sell.
Yeah.
I know everyone loves that term. So many people love that term. I shouldn't say everyone, but it's not, it doesn't speak to me. So I assume it won't speak to you.
Right.
I have to just make that assumption. And so, you know, the intent in creating is really important, and it really does. It slows me down a little bit because sometimes maybe I'm overthinking it, but I just think to myself, you know, who is she? What does she want? Who does she surround herself around? You know, what are her aspirations? So when I create these products, as you said too, if you check my feed, you know, it's empowering content. It's inspirational. It's reminders that you've got this, and that if you choose not to buy something yet, you still have the inspiration. I'm still providing you with value in some way.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I love what you just said too, about like how sometimes it would feel so good to just make something cute, and like, maybe that'd be easy, you know, maybe that would sell, but is there integrity behind that? Like, is that the actual energy of your brand? Is that the energy of the person that you're making this for? And that's the difference between like being in it to make a quick buck versus being in it because you're in it. Like, this is your expression and your gift to the world. And those are very, very different things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people really care about that nowadays too, which is wonderful, honestly, because, you know, when it's so easy to just like go with the convenient, you know, like Amazon drop shipping or, right. you know, whatever big box conglomerate is ruling at the moment, like connection has been lost. And I feel like now mm-hmm. there's almost a renaissance. It's coming back and people are realizing, you know, convenience is great, but connection is necessary.
Right.
And especially after everything the world has been through in the last couple of years, I feel like now people are really ready to be like, I don't want to buy unless I vibe with you. Like, unless I right. connect with you on an emotional and energetic level. You know, of course there are still people out there who go for the convenience, but
right.
I know I've definitely seen a trend in like, I only buy from brands and from people that I like, that, you know, connect with me right. on my values.
Right. And I think that that's, you know, I hate to keep using the same word, but, you know, everyone's evolving. And,
yeah.
and that's a beautiful thing that the world is cohesively going into that direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one other thing that you mentioned that I thought was really interesting was how you had no social following when you started mm-hmm. and the social anxiety that you experienced as well. And I love that you were able to make that into a positive and kind of show yourself how actually having no following was a good thing and continue showing up that way. Because I feel like in business, I know just in the process of starting a business, that was something that I would see a lot of is, you know, the stress around, well, I don't really have a big following, or I don't know how to do social media. And it's something that people would kind of hold themselves back and not start. And it's like, that can actually be a huge benefit to you. Right. So I love how you were just able to kind of get yourselves to the place where you understood that benefit.
Yeah, it definitely took some time.
Yeah.
But I definitely was able to see the benefit and how I can show up now for the people who do follow me.
Yeah. And just out of curiosity, you know, and of course, if this is too personal, please feel free to tell me to shut up. But I'm curious, like, have you found that it's helped you with the anxiety piece to kind of connect with people over what you create?
Yes. And I have found through different communities on, you know, Facebook and growing, I've been able to speak to other female entrepreneurs through all over the world, of course. And mm-hmm. it's been nice. It's been nice to have that support and that to find that community that I wouldn't have otherwise known even existed.
Yeah.
But it does really help to in my own personal life as well, because when you go from a corporate position, sometimes it's a little bit odd to tell someone that you, I mean, for me, it's been a little bit different because in my corporate position, since I started, since day one, I've been like, look, this is temporary because I'm going to be a lawyer, you know, yeah. and then it's yeah. switched to, you know, well, now I own my own business. And it can be a little bit difficult to have those kind of conversations with people and express what it is you're doing with yourself and your life. So yeah, being more social in that way and getting feedback and things from other people has definitely helped me with social anxiety.
That's incredible. That's mm-hmm. just, that like warms my heart to hear that. And, yeah. You know, I was kind of chuckling at the, you know, when people ask you like, what do you do or whatever? And, or when they were expecting you to like become a lawyer and now that's not the case. And it's like, what's going on? I know sometimes with certain people in my life, whenever they ask me like, so what are you doing for work nowadays? I'm just like, oh, I'm still a therapist. Like, I don't even want to have this conversation with you because you're right. not going to understand what I'm saying to you. Like, I pick my battles at this point because sometimes yes. there are just some people out there who are not going to get it.
Right. And their energy is not yours. You don't want it, you know, penetrating through you. And in any way, you're just like, no, I'm not interested in sharing this moment with you.
Right.
Or you feel like someone can't truly appreciate what it is you're going to say anyways.
Totally. Exactly. And yeah. And for me, it's like, my business is sacred to me. And I know mm-hmm. like, if I sit here and try to explain this to, you know, whoever this person is, not only are they not going to understand, but they're going to give me some kind of shit. And right. I'm not here to have that pollute the energy right. around my business. Exactly. Thank you very much. Like I would rather just white lie to you, which right, is not exactly. something that I do well, but you know, with like, you know, the great uncles who are just never going to get it. It's sometimes just absolutely. Easier to be like, oh yeah, I still do what I was doing 5 years ago. Yes, don't worry about it.
Absolutely. And it's funny how like with certain people, just kind of like one thing that I really dislike in my corporate job, and someone says my side hustle, when they call the perfectionist my side hustle.
Yeah.
I'm like, this job is my side hustle. What do you mean?
Hell yeah.
this is not mine.
Yeah.
I don't own this place.
You know? Yeah.
I like being here, but you know, this is not my side hustle. So absolutely. Picking your battles in mm-hmm. so many situations is just a part of growing up.
That side hustle piece triggers me. Like,
yes.
Like, when are you going to go get a real job? Or, you know, something right. along those lines. I got that a lot, like my first year in business. Like, oh, well, when are you going to go out and like do something real? Like, fuck off.
Yeah. I actually had someone just this week ask me, are you still going to law school? And I said, oh no, you hadn't heard. And I've started to not oversell myself with certain things, but I've worked up enough confidence to say, hey, no, I pulled my own brand.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's, as I said, when you're ambitious, there's no end goal. So I'm already living my dream life at this point. And that's how you have to think of it. You have to tell yourself, if you started something, you're already living the dream.
Because oh my God, yes.
You're not going to end, right? It's just going to get better and better from here. So you're already living your dream.
Exactly. And that goes right back to what you said earlier about like, if you start playing that whole I'll be happy when game,
mm-hmm.
you just rob yourself of what's available now. And what's available now is amazing. I have this conversation with myself a lot, actually, especially, you know, if there are goals that I had set, you know, that timeline that I had created for myself or whatever, and things aren't going to plan, quote unquote,
yeah.
it is a constant reminder to be like, this is actually my dream life. Like
right.
if I wouldn't actually change anything about my current scenario, it's actually rad and I'm doing what I love, which is like, that is more than good enough. That doesn't mean I can't grow and evolve still. And have exactly. aspirations, but like you said, ambition doesn't have an end date. Seriously, I want that on a t-shirt. That is just so good. But like, I think that's just, it's something that anyone in business really needs to absorb. Like
right.
the dream life is right now. And if you have a brand for yourself, if you are putting yourself out there through a business, like you are already doing the dream thing.
Right. Right. People are like, oh yeah, when I make it, you know, hit the infamous 10K month.
Yeah.
You know, then it's like, that's it. I've made it. But it's like, you already made it. And then what's going to happen when you hit 10K? Then
yeah.
What? You immediately, maybe after a day or a week, you may think I've made it, but then you're going to be like, okay, now what? Like, that's going to be the rest of your life. And so you have to settle in to where you are, be rooted in, appreciate yourself. I mean, if you're not, once again, that's the whole looking backwards or, you know, looking forwards.
Yeah.
You have to appreciate where you are now and just realize this is where you're going to be. I mean,
yeah,
you can grow and evolve from this place, but.
Yeah. And if you can't celebrate now, what makes you think you'll be able to celebrate then too?
I have that as an actual perfectionist from time to time. I have that. That is one of the worst things in understanding that, like, you do have to celebrate you now, because yeah, once you hit that next goal, it's going to still feel small.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You
do,
it's going to feel so small because you can't be happy until the end.
Right. But there is no end.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally. And you know, as a fellow perfectionist, this is probably one of the hardest lessons I had to learn. Because I mm-hmm. definitely played the I'll be happy when game. And I remember, you know, hitting big milestones and like hitting a 10K launch and like all of these mm-hmm. things. And it's like, why aren't I jumping up and down so excited right now? And it's because right. immediately I was already like, well, what's the next goal? Like I was jumping to the next thing. And that's, thank God I had a coach at the time who was like, if you don't learn how to celebrate your wins, like, this is going to collapse, because, you know, you have to celebrate the wins that happen in the moment. Otherwise, it doesn't matter what milestone you achieve. You're never going to be stoked. So
right.
you got to be stoked now. And like, that's, right. it's not optional.
No.
It sounds fluffy, but it's not easy. It's really, really not easy. And it sounds like it should be, right? Like, oh yeah, party time. But
yeah,
like getting into that energetic space and really feeling celebratory is not easy.
No.
And it's one of the hardest things that I've had to learn. And it's like a constant thing every day, but it's so important. And it's just like, you know, the evolution piece, the evolution, the celebration, the empowerment, all of that, it happens right now. It doesn't happen someday.
And, you know, it's also funny. I have this analogy. I always love to do analogies, but, you know, people who are like big, big goal setters and, you know, want a lot for themselves, their version of point A to point B is actually like point A to point R.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like you went through so many other steps that you didn't give yourself any credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's insane because in your head, it's like, I haven't even made it to point B yet. And it's like,
right.
Oh my gosh, you'd surpassed that a long time ago.
That is so good. And it shows it's all about perspective. Like your point B might be someone else's point Z. Or maybe someone else has already lapped the whole alphabet and gone back again. Like it's arbitrary. It all comes from our own perspective, our own like thoughts on ourselves.
Right. Right. Exactly. And I studied psychology, and I think a very heavy emphasis on positive psychology goes into a lot of my content in, you know, the things that I speak about, because you've got to find, you know, that happy spot. You have to, you know, learn that you create it, that you're in control of it.
Yeah, dude. Oh yeah. I can hear the psychology as a psychology nerd with two masters and an upcoming doctorate in the field of psychology.
Oh my gosh,
I know I'm a crazy person, but like it radiates. The positive psychology just radiates in everything you do. And that's actually something that I love to say when it comes to products. Like whenever my husband nags me about my mug problem, as he calls it, like there is actual science behind, you know, these objects that we have having the capacity to impact and either, you know, improve or degrade or whatever the case may be, change our energy, which then changes how we show up. It changes the actions we take. It changes our inner headspace, our thought space, our inner dialogue. It changes what we think we're capable of, which then dictates how we show up and the things that we do, which then dictates our outcomes. Like it's not as woo woo as it sounds.
Right. It comes full circle.
It totally does. And I think going full circle again, this really just is another reason to emphasize the intention and gift in an empowered way, like you said, and make sure that the products you're using give you that empowered energy. It mm-hmm. means a lot more than we think it means.
Right. Right. It's like self-love real estate. I mean, you have the opportunity.
I love that. Oh my God.
You have the opportunity to give yourself a boost in everything you touch every single day. I mean, you know what I mean? A lot of people do it through affirmation cards. They may do it through sticky notes on their mirror, you know, the three things you say to yourself, positive thoughts in the shower, mm-hmm. all those things. But I mean, it really is beautiful to know that you can really take more control over your thoughts in that way.
Absolutely. Which goes right back to that empowerment piece. I mean, truly a beautiful full circle. That is so, so good. So I'm curious about your perspective on this. I'm thinking back to your story. And as someone who has gone through this experience of really having to kind of change your identity, discover your own empowerment, and then start over basically and mm-hmm. create anew from this place of empowerment, what advice or maybe what tips, what suggestions, like what would you say to a woman mm-hmm. who is going through that journey right now?
in addition to just, you know, that there's no right set of circumstances that are going to come about that are, that's going to drastically change your life, that it has to come from you. I would say that you're probably not as far off from your dreams than you think. And just keep that in mind every single day. I would encourage people to create maybe a list of, or, you know, script out, write out your dream life. What does that look like for you? Like from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed, and then try and just replicate that.
I love that.
As much as you can, like take it week by week. It doesn't have to be done in a day. You have your whole rest of your life to live your dream life.
Yeah.
But, you know, take it step by step. Evaluate. Don't wait 10 years and realize, you know, how many people you hear in medical school or law school, and they get to the end and they, you know, they become a doctor, they become a lawyer, and then they're like, oh, you know what? I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, you take the moment, take the time to stop setting goals. And if you are setting goals, make sure that they're coming from the current, you know, evolved version of yourself.
Yeah.
That they're not last year's version of you, and that they're yours for that matter. I mean,
yeah.
stop taking on everyone else's wishes for you. And that will be, you know, you have the full ability to free yourself from all of the chaos of the world and the need to find this specific career or, you know, mind frame or whatever it is you're trying to change about yourself. You have the ability to create it. You just have to define it first.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So good. And I want to emphasize what you just said, because again, it's kind of one of those things that might seem a lot more simple and almost like maybe easily dismissed. Like, are the goals you're setting yours from the version of you that you are right now, first of all, and are they yours to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I know prior to my kind of awakening experience and losing my career and, or not losing it, but leaving it and having to change my whole identity, I probably wouldn't have even given that a second thought, because I had never thought about it before. I never thought about, like, well, what do I want? It was just more like, oh, well, this decision has already been made and I'm just doing it. But like, really ask that question. Like, do your goals belong to you?
Right.
Is your soul involved? And if not, like, time to find it.
Exactly. Exactly. Because the resistance that you feel every day with the things that you're doing, can you live with that for the rest of your life? Likely not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you take control, you define exactly what it is that you want, this version of you. And then as you said, it's not, I'm making it sound very easy. It's simple. It's not easy.
Simple and not easy. Yes, that is absolute truth. It isn't a complicated concept, but it might be one of the hardest things that you ever do.
Correct. 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 It's going to be a long process. You're going to be very patient with yourself.
Patient with yourself. Another amazing piece of advice, and something that any fellow perfectionists out there listening to.
Yes. And I also have on my website that I know you will probably link.
Yes.
To the notes, but they're on my website. I have a blog that I write a lot about the things that we've been discussing. And another thing is I have some freebies on my site, which is a habit tracker, as well as a self-discovery questionnaire. And I created myself questions that you, if you just want to get started, it's completely free. You can download it. And the question, you will feel very differently about yourself. Like, these are probably questions you've probably never thought to ask. So,
oh my God. I'm obsessed with that. We will be linking that. And you totally read my mind, because I was just about to ask you, like, where can everyone find you? What's your website? All the links. So, and we will have Desiree's website linked in the show notes, so everyone can go check that out. And, you know, on socials, where can everyone find you? I will link this, but just let everyone know verbally, where can they connect with you?
Okay. My personal Instagram is at Miss Desiree, and that's MRS Desiree. And my website is, I'm sorry, the Instagram for my brand is at The Perfectionist Co.
Perfect. And those, of course, will be linked down in the show notes as well. So everyone make sure to connect with Desiree, and you know where to go for some gifts that radiate the energies of empowerment and evolution. And honestly, who does not need that? I know that I definitely do. Thank you, Desiree, so much for this beautiful conversation, for sharing all about your business and all about your story with us. I could literally, I know I said this before, but I could like feel the passion that you have and the truth that you bring into your business, like through the Zoom screen. And I know it's going to radiate through the headphones for everyone in the Modern Mystics Guide community as well. So I just want to genuinely thank you from the bottom of my heart. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Hot damn. Am I right? I really feel like that conversation just kept delivering the gold right up until the very end. And I'm super serious, by the way, about getting those quotes put on t-shirts or mugs or whatever it is we're gonna do. So if you, like me, want to get your hands on those, we need to let Desiree know. Make sure that you're following her at The Perfectionist Co. on Instagram. And let her know what you thought of this episode. And of course, check out her amazing products both on her Insta and on her website. Everything is linked down in the show notes for you to connect with her. And of course, I want to hear your key takeaways from this conversation too. So make sure you drop me a line at Alchemy and Archetype on the gram and tell me what your biggest takeaway was from this conversation. As always, I am so grateful for you for hanging out with us today and moving through this magical conversation. And I hope it was expansive for you and empowering for you. And I hope that you were able to see yourself in Desiree's story the way that I was. And I hope that you were able to find motivation and purpose and renewed inspiration in hearing her journey and all of these shifts that she had to offer us today. So I will leave you to integrate, and of course, I can't wait to talk to you again on our next episode. Love you so much. Thank you so much for joining me today for this adventure into the realm of cosmic consciousness. I'm infinitely stoked and eternally grateful to have you by my side on this journey. If you valued this episode, make sure you subscribe and stick around for more magic. And if you want to cultivate some extra good karma, go ahead and write a 5-star review or share this episode so that other modern mystics can find their way home to us. I can't wait to connect with you again tomorrow. Now go get 'em, you infinitely powerful being you.